Okay,
starting, it didn't start. Oh, now we are. We're live.
Now we're going. Okay, so hi everyone, Lewis Smith here of MMA UK. And welcome to live night or this afternoon in Kerry's case with our special Cage Warriors 100 review show, or preview, I should say. It's going to be a huge event. It's taking place in Cardiff on Saturday. And yeah, we're all very much looking forward to it. Joining me are my MMA UK colleagues. First of all, across the other side of the pond is Kerry Stella. Kerry, how are you this evening?
Very well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Secondly, then, we've got Katie Hunter coming all the way from sunny Essex. How are you, Katie?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm so excited for this card.
Same, yeah, same. And last but certainly not least is our own Chris Emmanuel. Chris, how are things with you, buddy?
Yeah, very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm excited about this card and excited to talk a little bit about it, really. So I'll jump straight in. Obviously, Cage Warriors 100 is going to be at the Cardiff Ice Arena. Massive venue and a massive event for the biggest, not only the biggest card that Wales has ever seen, but probably the biggest card Cage Warriors has ever put on for their 100th show. So, you know, massive event. I'll jump straight into the main event of the evening, which is going to be Jack Shaw and Mike Ekindayo. That's going to be for the vacant bantamweight title. And I think one of probably the most exciting title matches that we've had matched up for us in a while. So I'm going to come to you first, Katie Hunter. I know that you know Mike a little bit, and you're very excited for this fight. So what do you think of this matchup between Jack Shaw and Mike Ekindayo?
I just think it's so exciting to have two such well-matched guys in their prime, both undefeated at pro, both undefeated at amateur, 7-0 and 9-0, just both so strong. I just think, you know, I'm Team Airlines all the way, but I just think it's going to be the toughest fight either of them have ever been in, and it's such a treat for the fans. I do think that Mike's going to do it. I think, you know, the wrestling at Titan and just being able to maybe even grind it out over the full distance, I just think he might be too strong for Jack. But having said that, I just think this is such a great advert for UK MMA. It's just two of the nicest guys, the best guys, and in their prime. I'm just so excited. Whatever happens, I just think it's going to be a real, real treat. But yeah, my money is on Mike.
You're going for Mike now. And no surprise there then, Katie. but no, I do agree with what you said there, Katie. I think that's what makes this fight so exciting. Not just because it's Jack Shaw and it's in Wales, but because it's truly the best versus the best, the two best contenders at the moment. Both of them are undefeated. Chris, what do you think of this fight, mate? How do you see it going?
One thing I disagree with, I don't think they're actually in their prime yet. They're both so young. You know, Katie said they're both undefeated. You know, Jack's got back, I think, 21 fights in total, if you include his amateur career, which is just crazy. I think the most important aspect of this is going to be when Mike gets his hands on him, because when Mike gets hold of people, normally that's it, it's game over. He just clamps onto them and he can do whatever he wants. Whereas with Jack, he's tricky off his back. He's super strong as well. If he can negate Mike's strength, then Mike could be in for a difficult night. I'm leaning a bit towards Ekindayo as well. I've seen Ekindayo fight as an amateur. I've seen him fight as a pro live. The guy's just got ridiculous strength. There's no way that someone that light should be that strong. But yeah, there's just so little to choose between them. It's one of those fights whoever wins deserves to win. You can't really choose either way. You know, obviously, Essex versus Wales. I know which way you two are swinging, but I'm wavering either way each time I think about it.
Yeah. No, I agree with what you're saying. You know, both guys are so good at the moment. For me, I am leaning a little bit towards Jack Shaw. I think one factor in this is that we've always seen Jack be the guy on top, the dominant guy. You know, with this fight, we might actually see him sort of get on his back and see where his defensive jiu-jitsu is like. You know, he's a brown belt, a very talented brown belt. So I think that's another fact that, you know, if Mike gets him down, is he going to be able to keep him there? And is he going to be able to do anything from the position? So I think that's definitely something that I'm looking forward to in this fight. Kerry Stella, what's the opinion across the pond on this one?
Well, I definitely think I'm a little bit more partial to Jack, being we had him on one of the shows, and he's a really, really nice young man. But they're both really huge up-and-coming prospects. They have great records. They both look really, really exciting. So I think, if anything, it's going to be it's just going to be a great fight, like you guys are saying. I don't know who I would lean towards more. Jack, definitely, just because of the gang, you know, we've had him on. But it's I'm just really, really excited to see how they both do. And looking at their records and looking at, you know, how bolted, talented they both are, it can't not be a great fight.
Yeah, definitely. Kerry, something I wanted to ask you as well, because over here at the moment, Cage Warriors is definitely the biggest show outside of the UFC. They've really sort of invested in the UK scene and in Europe now, coming strong as well. I mean, what's the reception of Cage Warriors been like over in America? Is it something that you're sort of exposed to a lot, or is it something that's still not really filtered through over there as of yet?
I don't know. People are talking about it because, you know, they've had, a couple guys go to the UFC, and it's on Fight Pass, which is awesome. So, you know, it's available for us. But, I have quite a few friends of mine that do journalism over here, and they're all talking about it. It's a really big card. I don't know what's not to talk about.
Yeah, sure.
You guys got some great talent coming out from over there. So, you know, it's definitely something to watch out for.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's definitely a developing scene. And with organizations like Cage Warriors now really investing in Britain and Europe, I think it's onwards and upwards for the future, really. So, yeah, it's just nice for a lot of MMA UK and a lot of the fans to get a sort of different perspective and see, you know, what people in America are sort of seeing when they see Cage Warriors. So nice to hear that it's growing on all fronts, really.
Absolutely. I remember watching Corey McKenna. She's awesome. What was it, her last fight, Katie, she had a couple months ago? She was...
Yeah.
She didn't really look like she was in a crazy fight, and her opponent, I can't remember her name, I saw pictures, looked like she got hit by a car.
The second it was, yeah, it was a good fight.
Yeah, her face was a mess after. So you guys got some great prospects over there. It's really exciting. It's really exciting to see the talent level.
So that takes us on then to our next fight, which is the co-main event of the evening, and another title fight, the second title fight of the evening. And that's going to be competed between Aiden Lee and Dean Truman for the featherweight title. Obviously, these guys have been in a four-man tournament. It's been another really successful tournament. I'll come to you first on this one, Chris. What was your thoughts on this matchup between Dean and Aiden?
I think it's entirely dependent on what Dean Truman turns up. You know, Dean's been a pro for quite a few years now. I think 2011 was when he made his pro debut. Floating around at 9-4, so he's been a bit patchy. If you get the best of Truman, it's a really difficult fight for Aiden Lee, possibly his most difficult. But Aiden's another interesting character. I remember watching him back in, I think it was 2016, on Almighty One. It was only his second pro fight, and he came up against this Polish guy, Adamczyk or something like that, and he looked really scrappy. Nowhere near the polished article he is now, but the improvements in him in the last couple of years have been absolutely astronomical. And I think training with Tom Breeze and the guys over at Renegades really, really worked wonders for him. So the best Aiden Lee, I think, would beat the best Dean Truman. But again, it's another touch and go fight. You know, both are superbly talented fighters. Both of them can mix it up. It should just be a fun one to watch.
Yeah. Did you watch the Birmingham card, Chris?
I did, yeah.
What did you think of Aiden's performance against Paul McBain?
Surprising, because I actually chose against him. Actually, I've watched McBain on a bit of a tear, and I thought that he would. I thought that he would stop Aiden, but no, he is one of those coming of age performances, really, for Aiden Lee. But he's, you know, another young lad. He's still got a lot ahead of him, and he's, you know, he's a big guy for a featherweight as well. He's 6 foot tall. He's big, he's rangy, he's strong. I'm surprised he hasn't knocked more people out, because he looks like he hits really hard. Certainly in the first round, he causes some damage. But I think he really should have the edge against Dean Truman in this fight. What do you think?
You're going for Aiden in this one, yeah?
Yeah, I am.
Brilliant. Well, for me personally, I've been back and forth on this one, because both guys looked so good in their last fight at Birmingham. I think I would agree with what you said. I think Aiden's made a lot of improvements training with Tom Breeze and obviously all those guys up in Birmingham. I think if it goes to the ground, Aiden's definitely going to have a slight advantage, but Dean looks very slippery. He seems to just be one of those guys you can't quite get a hold of properly. So I'm going to go with Aiden, but I wouldn't want to sort of bet my house on it, to be honest with you. What's your thoughts on this one, Katie? How do you see it going?
Well, I think this fight could go either way, but I'm slightly leaning towards Dean Truman. I agree with you guys that I expected Paul McBain to be in the final with Dean. So Aiden has already surprised me, and I wouldn't put it past him to surprise me again. But you were talking about if it goes to the ground, and Dane's actually really good off of his back as well, as we saw in the fight with Corin Eaton at Cage Warriors London. So I don't feel like we can rule him out winning that way either. But I do agree that his form's been patchy in the past, and it does depend whether it's the best Dean Truman that turns up, or, you know, whether it's one of the less than the best performances we've seen from him. So I'm slightly leaning towards him just off the back of his last two performances. But Aiden Lee did really surprise me in Birmingham. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on that one.
Right, yeah. No, that's fair enough. I mean, one thing I would say about Truman as well is he loves a tear-up. You talk about that fight with Corin Eaton, even his last fight, he really loves to sort of get the blood dripping down his face and get swinging. So I think momentum is a big part in these fights. So if he starts coming forward, starts finding that flow, he could pull it off. So like I said, it's very close. Kerry, what's your take on this fight?
You know, I have a very similar opinion to you guys. It's looking at their records and looking at, Aiden has a little bit more submissions than Dean. Dean has a little bit more knockouts than Aiden, so it really could go either way. And like you guys said, if it goes to the ground, and Lewis, you were saying Dean's really good off his back, that could, poses a problem for Aiden. But I think reach is going to play a big part in it too. So I'm thinking, Aiden might be able to shoot on him and take him down and get him on the ground.
So we've got a 3-1 there with three of us going for Aiden then, and Katie, you're on your own there, I'm afraid.
He did put me off when he called himself the Dream Crusher in his interview with you. So
yeah, obviously you're a friend of Corin Eaton, I'm assuming, Katie, isn't it?
I am, yeah, but no, I wouldn't mind being wrong on this one.
Is Corin retired now?
Yeah, so Corin was going to fight at Cage Warriors in Colchester. And that was going to be his last fight, and he wanted to retire on home turf, I guess. But a couple of weeks out, and he still hadn't been matched. And he was really struggling to get to Titan, which is over an hour's drive from where we lived. Yeah. And this time he didn't have the luxury of giving up work. So he was working all day on a building site and then trying to get to Titan every evening. And he just wasn't getting enough sleep and enough, recuperation, and seeing as he still didn't have an opponent and he wasn't letting anyone down, I think he just decided to make the retirement before the fight rather than not give it his all or wait a bit longer and have to let someone down. So yeah, that was the story behind that. So I'm a little bit heartbroken, but I completely understand where he's coming from.
Yeah, I think obviously we've gone off on a little bit of a tangent there, but obviously that was such a great fight between Corin and Dean, and Corin's had a lot of great fights, so it's always sad to see a guy retire. But at the same time, it's a difficult occupation fighting, isn't it? So, people got to do what they got to do, and obviously we wish Corin all the best moving forward.
100%.
Yeah. So that takes us on into our next fight on the card. We've got a pair of welterweight fights. First one is another Welsh fighter, Aaron Khalid, and he is going to be taking on Hakon Foss. Chris, do you want to go first for this one? What's your thoughts on this matchup?
One word. Khalid.
Yeah?
Yeah, Khalid's going to win this one. I think that Foss is... I think we've seen the best of Hakan Foss. He won his last one, but he lost to Jamie Richardson. He lost to Thundercat. Those are two big, heavy defeats. Okay, they're two very good fighters. But Khalid's one of these up-and-coming young fighters. And I can't see past him, really.
Yeah, brilliant. So you'll go for Khalid there. James Hamilton, just joined us. How are you this evening, sir?
Good.
So just for anyone tuning in, James Hamilton is the last of our MMA UK staff who's coming in to make his prediction tonight. James, I'm just going to jump in quickly and let you make your predictions for the two previous fights. Just give your name. Jack Shaw, Mike Eckendale?
Jack Shaw.
Jack Shaw there. Aiden Lee versus Dean Truman.
Dean Truman,
brilliant. So you're up to speed with us now, buddy. And the fight we're currently on now, I don't know if you want to jump straight into this one, but we're picking between Aaron Khalid and Hakon Foss. Chris has obviously gone for Khalid. What's your take on this matchup?
Ooh, In 50-50 on it, I tend to lean towards Aaron Khalid. But I was back and forward with that one, but I just feel Aaron, where the fight is, the card, I just think it's got to be a good night for him.
So you're going Khalid on that one. I like to speak a little bit on Aaron, because I interviewed him recently, and he really is a fighter who's, he's taken two losses to Ross Houston, who's now the Cage Warriors champion.
Yeah,
but you know what? One of those fights was on short notice as well. He took that on the week of the fight and still did a full three rounds. So you've got to give big respect to Khalid for that. And since then, I know he's been out in Amsterdam training at Mike's gym, and he's come back and got himself back on the ball with two wins. So, you know, like we were saying, momentum plays a big part in MMA, and I think Aaron's really got some momentum, and I'm expecting him to go out and do the job. Like Chris said, I think we have seen the best of Hack on Foss. So I'm predicting Aaron Khalid in this one, and you know, like I said, we've got. I know I don't want to be biased for the Welsh fighters, but that's just how I see this one. Kerry, what's your take on this one?
From the research that I did this week, I would definitely have to go with Aaron Khalid by submission. If anything, he's never been submitted. He's only lost by decision. He's a big up and comer. And, you know, again, like I'm going off of what I look up and all you guys' interviews. So it's really, really cool that I get to have this perspective. I'm really excited about it. And to hear what you guys happen to think is even better.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty unanimous on Khalid. Kerry, I want to come to you about the next fight then, because that's another welterweight clash, which is going to be former UFC fighter and former Cage Warriors champion, Nicholas Dalby versus Philip Mulpeter. Cracking matchup with that. What's your thoughts on this one, Katie?
I'm going with the Locomotivo on this one. I think Nicholas Dalby's going to be too strong. I've seen him fight live a couple of times, and, you know, he's come back from something massive, you know. He's been really open about his struggle with depression, and it still hasn't gone his way when he first came back to Cage Warriors. But I do think that he's going to be too strong on the night. I just only see this going one way. That's to Nicholas Dalby.
Any thought? What's your thoughts on Mulpeter as a fighter, Katie?
I like him. Yeah, I like him. I've seen a little bit of him. I just think that Dalby's going to be too strong on the night.
Yeah, so that's Dalby there. James, what about you? I've just seen this one going between Nicholas Dalby and Philip Mulpeter.
I would agree with Katie on Dalby winning the fight. I think his experience and the level he's fought at, I think that's going to play a massive factor. Also, I genuinely believe the winner of this fight will fight Ross Houston. If Ross Houston doesn't go to the UFC beforehand, obviously with UFC London coming up, I think that's a very, very strong possibility. I think Dalby's just got too much experience. I think his skill level is just a bit above. And I think that all take that all into consideration. I think it's going to be a win for Dalby, and I think potentially a title shot against Ross Houston if Ross doesn't make switch over to the UFC, which I think might happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's not a bad shot. I mean, the thing is, like we've said, there's a big story behind Dalby. He's a former UFC fighter, former Cage Warriors champion. I believe that's correct. A storied sort of struggle with depression and everything. So it really does make sense for him to win this and go on for the title against Ross. What I would say with Ross, I've been sort of thinking about this for a while. I'm a huge Ross Houston fan. I absolutely love to watch Ross fight. I don't think he will go to the UFC before he defends his belt. I think with Cage Warriors at the moment, it definitely is the route into the UFC, but it's not as easy as people think. You know, you look at guys like Nathaniel, he had to defend the belt twice. You know, Molly McCann had to defend the belt. I do see Ross having to make a title defense before he shoots up to the UFC, and I think there's no better person for him to do that than the winner of this fight.
There is a couple of external factors as well, though. On the UFC London card, I think Ross obviously fighting at a slightly higher weight. It's a good division. And I don't know, I disagree a wee bit slightly. I think it might happen sooner rather than later. But I know for a fact Ross is definitely happy to defend the belt. And I think he would probably think Dalby would be the next person he fights. Obviously, we don't know how it will go, but...
Will Ross Houston fight at 165 or 175?
No, Ross wouldn't. I don't think Ross, if you've ever met him in person, 165, that extra £5, I think that would take too much out of him. And I think it would end up having a negative. If anything, I think you would see Ross moving to 175 and actually see him stronger at 175, but he's a big, big welterweight.
Yeah, he's a big guy. I think
I disagree with you guys, by the way, on a couple of things. First of all, I think that I think we've seen the best of Dolby. He had a 3-fight skid before his last win. So the Honey Badger is one of those guys that if he grabs hold of you, you're in for a rough night. He's either going to finish you, he's going to sub you, or he's going to drop elbows on you and put you out. He's had a long period without fights. I think it's 15 to 17. He had 4 cancelled bouts in a row, with most people, it would play on their mind, I think. But he's one of those guys who's just got that mental strength. And even if Dolby did win this one, I can't see how Cage Warriors could justify putting him back in for a title shot after a 3-fight skid prior to that last win. I think another fight on this card has got a potential title challenger on it. I think Alex Zahor versus Tim Barnett. I think that it would make far more sense for Cage Warriors to put, if Lahore wins, him in against whoever's power punch animations popped up on my screen. There we go. I think it would make far more sense for Cage Warriors to put Lahore in against Ross Houston. I think that would be a more legitimate fight than somebody, you know, who's won 2 out of the last 5. Yeah, even though he carries a lot of name value.
Yeah, let's jump straight into that one then. Obviously, that's another great fight on the card. Like we said before this started, this card generally, you could take all the fights on it and probably split it and make three great cards on their own. But that, like I said, that's just another great fight on the card. What's your prediction for that one, Chris?
I like both Alex and Tim. They're both really nice guys. I know Alex personally. I've interviewed Tim a few times. I think that Alex is coming back to his best. I've watched so much of his career develop. I was at Rise of Champions 1 when he got knocked out for the first time in his career and Carl Booth finished him in the first round. I've watched him just tear through people. I was there when he beat Nathan Jones to win his world title on Bama. He always calls me out for picking against him. So, Alex, if you're watching this for the first time, I'm actually picking you publicly here. He's just been super aggressive since. But he's made a lot of changes in this camp. He was at a really good camp in Southeast London, New Wave Academy, but had been there for a long time. And I don't know what happened, but things seemed to sour, and he moved on. He had those 2 fights where he lost against Terry Brazier, where he lost his title. Then Ion Pascu, where he's just tentative. But then he came back and he beat the Finnish guy up in cage, the guy who had just beaten his nemesis Nathan Jones. And he came back super, super aggressive in his last fight. So Alex, he just tears through people if he's on form. And Tim, no matter how super tough he is, which, you know, he's a very tough guy, I just can't see him being able to stop the force of Alex, really.
And he defeated Sam Bolt last time as well, didn't he, Alex?
He did, yeah. And he's hyper-aggressive.
By the way. So, like you said, he's definitely coming in with a bit of form and a bit of smoke behind him. So, not a bad shout. Can I just ask, are you an Alex Lahore fan,
Chris? No, listen, Alex is a good guy. But like I said, I was in Newcastle. I sat on press row in Newcastle for the Bama event where it's basically the Chalmers event. And Alex came up to me and, you know, we've known each other for a few years. And he kept saying, and he just said to me, we're still friends, even though every time I fight, you call against me. So one of the guys that I manage, he fought against Dan Edwards. So obviously I'm calling against him. I'm good friends with Nathan Jones as well, which is a bit awkward when those two are having their backwards and forwards. I chose Nathan for that fight. And then, Alex has proved me wrong on each occasion. So,
sticking with him this time, then.
Yeah, I'm sticking with him this time.
Are you just about to jinx Alex Lahore, though?
Completely. So
you may have. Sorry,
that is true.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. So that's Tim Barnett versus Alex Lahore, another welterweight bout, which is, you know, just a small part of the stack card we've got. Going back up to the main card, then, which I'm going to come to James Hamilton on this one first, because I know he's got a lot of interest in this guy. Scott Malone versus Josh Reed. I said before, I think this could be the fight of the evening. James, what's your thoughts on this one?
A great fight. I think it's a great test for Scott as well. Both guys, I mean, obviously that division, there's massive potential for guys to make a run at the belt, and you could make a statement on the card. He's trying to take my obvious, my bias out for Scottish MMA. Everybody knows that's predominantly what I follow. And I just think, do you know what, after Scott's last performance, he showed something different. I think he showed a different side to his game. It's something I know he works on, obviously. Yeah, it's probably going to sound a bit biased, but I believe Scott's going to come down and take the win. I have looked at this and tried to look at it not through sort of biased eyes, but I feel Scott takes a win. I feel it's a great opportunity for both guys as well, obviously, with the title fight on the card. And I think both of them are going to get in there and put on a show, and I definitely agree with you. I think this has got potential to be fight tonight, but I'll take Scott Malone in that fight. I don't think it goes to decision either.
Yeah, so James is going for Scott now. You know what, for this one, I actually spoke to Scott, I interviewed Scott after his last fight in Birmingham, and like you said, he did look a little bit different now, and he'd just been out of Team Alpha Male. His grappling looked insane, his wrestling, and his hands actually look really good as well. I think, like we hear on the comments, people saying when you do the wrestling, you know, it opens up the hands, and he definitely showed he's got power in his hands. Yeah. One thing I will say, though, I think Josh Reed kind of gets pinned as like a brawler, a guy who comes in and just throws caution to the wind. But from what I know about Josh is he's also a very good grappler. He's a purple belt under Richard Shaw. I know he does a lot of training with a guy down here called Ash Amos, who's fighting on the Polaris card the next day. So he's training with really strong grapplers. So I think that this is a kind of similar situation to the Jack Shaw, might get a day away. If he gets put down on his back, it might just be an opportunity for us to see a different side of Josh Reed and what he can do with his jiu-jitsu skills. So that's why I'm looking forward to that. And also, you know, you never see Josh Reed in a boring fight at any rate. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I mean, Katie, what's your thoughts on this matchup?
I think you're both right. I'm calling this one as a fight of the night. I've never seen either of them in a boring fight. I interviewed Josh Reed a couple of weeks ago, and he sounds super confident. I know it's really difficult. A lot of people think that fighters are never the same after they've been knocked out, and obviously we saw that in his last fight. So it depends how he comes back from that, but I just see fireworks in this fight. I hope I'm right, because I just love watching both of them fight, and he's up there with one of the people I most enjoy watching in the cage. So I'm hoping that this one doesn't go the distance, but it would be interesting to see if you're right and you know that it does bring out another side of either of them, you know. But I'm gonna go with Crazy Horse in this one.
Going with Crazy Horse, okay. And Kerry Stella, obviously we've got Josh Reed at a top quality bantamweight. He is coming off the back of two losses, as opposed to Scott Malone, who's coming off the back of a few good victories. How do you see this one going?
Well, like Katie was saying, they both have really exciting fights. I watched their highlight reels. Super exciting. I actually, you know what? It's so funny because whenever I watch an interview or get to know a fighter through that or read up on them, but I saw Katie's interview. So I'm going to go with Josh. I love the interview. I did see his confidence, and you know, I'm gonna take somebody's side, of course, with that anyway, because I got to know him through you guys a little bit. But yeah, I think he could definitely take it. I think it could go either way. And if you guys say it could be potential fight of the night, and seeing their highlight reel, it definitely can.
Yes, it's something
this could be motivating.
Yeah. The problem is there's so many good fights on this card. It's like,
I just literally every single fight is amazing. It's really insane how big this card is.
Yeah, it is. And everything obviously you predicted, it really comes true. So who knows if we'll be right. James, sorry to cut you off there, buddy. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask you a question, obviously. Cage Warriors 100 down in Wales. Just tell me a wee bit about what the buzz is like down in Wales at the moment for this card.
It's, to be honest, it's something that I haven't experienced before. I mean, I've been with MMA UK for about 18 months now. But before that, I've been watching MMA a long time. And with Wales, there's never been any sort of exposure to it, really. You'd have sort of a few small cards in Newport, but nothing to this level. And I think people really have just sort of risen to that. Jack Shaw is a huge name in Wales now. I'd go as far as to say Jack Shaw is the biggest MMA star in Wales. He's not just an MMA star anymore. People just know him, you know, outside of MMA. He's got an absolutely massive support wherever he goes. You know, it's very rare you'll see kind of a Welsh fighter go over to Belgium and take a few hundred boys with him. He's got an absolutely amazing following, and people have really bought into that. The sort of buzz I'm getting around when I'm sort of around town is that even people who don't like fighting are going down just for the night out, just to kind of soak up the atmosphere. Yeah. So I think it really is amazing at the moment. I'm so happy that it's happening now, just as I'm sort of coming into reporting on MMA, and I'm very grateful that it has come. So big thank you to Cage Warriors for bringing that down.
That's a bold statement, though, don't you think? So you say that he's more popular than Brett Johns and Jack Marshman now?
I would say, yeah, to be honest, Brett is popular, and Brett is, you know, our highest ranked fighter, I believe. Mm. But, you know, the support Jack Shaw has is just like, there's nothing else like it. He's just, you know, if you saw the last fight down in Cardiff, there was like just rows of people just going crazy as he's coming out of the tunnel. I would say it's almost to the point of like, you know, Paddy Pimblett in Liverpool, that sort of level. It really is amazing. And I definitely think he's got the best support. I would say one of the best supports in Europe, actually.
It's a great time for MMA in Wales, really, isn't it, at the moment?
Yes, it's amazing at the moment. Like I said, I'm just very grateful that, you know, we get to have these shows. And then, you know, it's even better because now it brings in Polaris the day after at the same venue, which is kind of opening things up for grappling as well. Like, you know, who would have think you'd be having a grappling show sold out in Cardiff? Like, it's something that really is amazing. And for all those kind of fans who've been starved of attention for a little while, they get it all on one weekend, which is this weekend. And it's my birthday weekend as well. So,
perfect. I'm
going to have a few drinks after.
How cool is that? Happy early birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
There are some comments that's come in, by the way, Lewis, if you want them.
Yeah, go on. Read them out, James.
Right, I'll just read a few out. So we have Mr. Christopher Griffiths. Jack Shaw will win his fight without a doubt. The guy's a machine. We also got a couple of fighters that are on the card. Aaron Khalid giving us a few strongman emojis. And Dean Truman, looking forward to silencing his doubters again.
That's too long.
How did you pick on the Dean Truman fight? I'm curious now, because I obviously was a bit late in.
So I think I went for Aiden. I think we all went for Aiden, apart from Kate, you went for Dean. But we did all say it's going to be very close. So, like I said,
who likes to sit on the fence now?
That's just hands up. I went for Aiden. Sorry, Dean. I think you're great, but I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, if it's a great fight and Dean comes out and proves us wrong, none of us are going to be hating. So,
that's all we've got for now, anyway.
That's all we've got so far, yeah?
Yeah.
So, guys, any questions you do want to ask, check them down below if you're watching on Facebook, and our main man, James Hamilton, will read them out for us. But this brings us on to the next fight now, which is another brilliant fight that could headline another card, which is Rhys McKee and Jeff St. George. Chris, I'll come to you with this one first. What's your thoughts?
This, for me, is my fight of the night.
Yeah.
I've watched Rhys McKee grow up. So former BABA lightweight champion. He's still only 22, 23 years old. The guy is an absolute phenomenon. It doesn't matter where the fight takes place. He's technically phenomenal. You know, striking is just on point. His grappling superb. You know, saw that against Terry Brazier. He's just crazy strong. He held his own against, you know, at 22, you haven't even got full man strength. And he held his own against Terry Brazier, who's just an absolute animal. You know, and off his back, he's super dangerous. But I see Jeff St. George train week in, week out. He trains at BST in Northampton, where I go. He's one of those sleepers. He's one of those guys that people have seen around the scene, and he's got flashy kicks, and he's fought against some decent names. You know, he's beaten Jack Grant. He lost to Dia Casey. He had a highlight reel knockout defeat to Michael Page very early in his career. And people seem to think that Jeff's still the fighter that he was 2 years ago. But he's been training now for 2-3 years under Danny Batten at BST in Northampton. And in my opinion, Danny Batten's one of the best coaches in Europe. He's completely revolutionised his game. And we saw that in Jefferson's last fight, which was at welterweight on the Bama World Cup fight night. He fought against James Reedman, and Reedman's game plan was clear. Take him, grab him, put him up against the fence, take him down and just try and bully him. Doesn't work against Jeff anymore because Jeff's a completely well-rounded MMA artist. So the only downside I have to this fight is I think it's taken place at the wrong weight. McKee said that he's going to fight at both 70 and 77. When he first joined Cage Warriors, he said that in a couple of interviews. Jefferson's last fight was at 77. He struggled in the past to come down to 70. Although he has been on weight throughout this fight camp. I've been told by his coaches. I think that they would be both more explosive at 77. But regardless, even if we got them both at 80%, these guys are going to put on a hell of a show. So just don't miss this one.
Yeah, it's gonna be an amazing fight. What was your prediction there? Sorry, Chris.
I didn't predict it. Oh, did I?
No.
Look, I've got to go for Jeff. Jeff's my boy. So regardless of how good I think either of them are, you've got to support your friends. And 100%, Jefferson George, Shadow Demon Blacksmith is going to have his hand raised.
Fair play, James. What's your thoughts on this one? Obviously, Rhys McKee, former Bama champion. Against
Jeff
George, where do you see this one
going? Yeah, I think I was glad to see Rhys signing with Cage Warriors. I think it's the right promotion for him. Rhys, I remember fighting back in Scotland on top many, many moons ago. I think Rhys is still a developing fighter. I think we're going to see a better Rhys McKee than the last time out. Although he took that loss to Terry Brazier, I think that's a loss for a young guy that you'll have learned a lot from. I would favour Rhys in this fight. I just feel like he's coming into promotion. I think he's going to make his mark, make his debut on the good card. And I believe Rhys will get the win. It's going to be a very, very tough fight, though. But yeah, I would favour Rhys in this fight.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, I'm with you on that one, James. I'm going for Rhys narrowly, only because I think he was the champion at Bama. That loss against Terry Brazier, I think he really will learn a lot from. And like I said, I think with his age, with what we've seen of him in the cage, I think this is really going to sort of push him on now. I think he's going to look to make a statement as well and try and get a finish. And he's one of those guys where I can really see if he makes a strong statement this weekend that he's the sort of guy who can potentially look to get title shots and move on in the future. Like I said, he's so young. He comes from a great camp. And I'm a big fan of Rhys McKee. So although I like Jeffson, I think he's just now going to sneak this one out. But what do you think on this one, Katie?
Well, it's interesting to hear what you had to say, Chris, because the fights that I've seen of Jefferson have been from a few years ago. So that's probably what I'm basing it on. And if you think he's a lot more well-rounded now, then I could be wrong. But I was going to go with Rhys as well. I think he's going to be amazing. He's, as we've already talked about, insanely strong for how, excuse me if you're watching, but skinny and young he looks. he moves people around like a beast. And I do see it going that way. But that is interesting insight, Chris, that I hadn't considered Jefferson improving over the time since I've last seen him. So I'm going for Rhys, but I could well be wrong on that one.
Yeah, so you'll go for Rhys on this one. Kerry, last but not least, what's your take on this one?
Rhys McKee. I think he's a super up-and-coming talent. He's got some really great performances. He seems to, love to finish it in the first round. And I think he's going to look to make a huge statement at this fight card. And I definitely see it going in his favor.
So we're going McKee. I think that's 4-1 for McKee on now and then. So,
can I just quickly, I want to actually jump over to Chris and ask him something. Just from what you said about Jefferson there, obviously, going into this fight, do you think we could see two different fighters to who we've seen in the past, Chris, in terms of the fact, obviously, you're saying Jefferson, he's moved camp, he's developed different parts of his game. Obviously, Rhys being a young guy, and I know Katie's saying he's a bit skinny there, but he is a young guy. He's starting to fill out in his body. Do you think we're going to see two different fighters versus what we've seen in the past from both guys?
100%, yeah. It's a shame that Jefferson's last fight wasn't one of the televised ones. It didn't even reach, it wasn't even on one of the Sports Bible preview fights. It's one of the two that didn't make any, it wasn't recorded anywhere. It's just an absolute world of difference from where he was. He's always been incredibly athletic. He's had great energy in the cage, but there are always limitations to Jefferson. And, you know, he's 29 now. He's a lot more mature. He's settled. He's got a fiance. He's got a son. He's a very different young man to the fighter that we saw in UCMMA all those years back. You know, and as you say about Reese, you know, Reese is just developing every single time you see him fight. He's just improving leaps and bounds. Reese is one of those guys that, you know, everyone talks about, oh, this guy can go to the UFC, that guy can go to the UFC. Realistically, Reese should be in the UFC in a couple of years. You know, he is one of the most well-rounded elite fighters that we've got in the British Isles. And, you know, his fight intelligence is coming on leaps and bounds as well. So, yeah, I think that it won't be the striking fest that everyone expects it to be. I think it's going to be a lot more technical bout, which, you know, I'm going to find super exciting.
Yeah, I think all the hardcore fans like us will definitely find this one. And like you said at the beginning, Chris, your very first point, I think this is definitely up there with a competitive four fight tonight with the Josh Reed and the Malone fight.
So many though, aren't there?
It's too many. It's almost too much choice. It's like, you know, when you're like, you drop on the Netflix and you can't decide what film to watch. This is why I'm like just trying to figure out which fight I want to see the most.
You're no good for Netflix and chill then, are you?
No. just the chill, Chris, just the chill.
I'm just jealous now. That's Wales getting superb, massive cards. Obviously, England does. Kerry's in America and us poor Scottish people, we're deprived.
So, James, but, do you think, my question for you then, James, do you think Cage Warriors will be coming up to Scotland next year at any point?
I've banged my head against the wall asking myself that question many a night. Do I think it will happen soon? Probably not. We'll see. Maybe if Scott Malone gets a win, and obviously we'll get Aidan Stephen coming down to debut as well. So, yeah, who knows? It'll happen eventually. But I might be an old man. I'm a middle-aged man now, but I might be an old man by the time it happens. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be positive, James, isn't it?
Aye. Unless you're at the doctor's, then probably not.
Yeah. Oh, always good to have a positive attitude. That's our James out then. So we'll move on to the next. I'm going to do two more fights, guys. So I'm going to split it up two and two, right? So the first one, I'm going to start with you, Katie. And the prediction I want from you is going to be between Chris Edwards and Aidan Stephen. What's your thought on this one? Obviously, Chris, a very well-known fighter in Wales, fought the who's who of bantamweights in the last couple of years, now moving up to featherweight. Well, how do you see this one going against Stephen?
I actually think this is the most difficult fight for me to pick a winner out of the whole card. I've changed my mind on this about three or four times. I really like both guys. I actually think Chris Edwards is going to get the win. I am going backwards and forwards over it all the time, though. I was hoping to go last on this one to see if your guys' arguments could persuade me one way or the other, because it's the one that I've really, really been on the fence about. Part of me thinks I'm going for Chris just because I'm friends with Corey and McKenna, and obviously it's just easier to go with who she thinks will win. But it's tough. This one is really tough.
It's a very close matchup, and what I would say is with Chris, he seems to have a lot more experience in the cage than Aidan. And you know, he's fought so many fights and against such top fighters. But you know, he is going up a weight class, so I mean that could play a factor. And another thing I would say is that Aidan seems to have very strong grappling. He's beat some great guys, so I mean this this matchup is a really good matchup because although Aiden seems to be a good wrestler, Chris is an excellent jiu-jitsu practitioner. So it really is a 50-50 bout. James, what's your take on this one? Obviously, you know a little bit more about Aiden than the rest of us. How do you see this one going?
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised when you see Aiden Stephen making his debut. Right now, up that sort of part of Scotland, you're Inverness, Dundee, that sort of area, there is a real strong amount of guys coming out. And I believe Aiden Stephen is the next one you're going to see. It's definitely his toughest fight to date. Against Chris, obviously more experienced. I think Aiden's got the skills. He's a guy that I don't think maybe a lot of people, especially down south, are going to know much about. I've had the pleasure of speaking to Aiden, watching him fight live. He's a very talented, very hungry guy, and I think he'll come down to Wales and I think he'll take the win.
So James Hamlin's picking another Scottish guy, is that, am I hearing that correct?
That's exactly correct. And if you probably find a homeless Glaswegian, I'll probably end up picking him. No, genuinely, but Aiden is somebody that will be very, he's a really, really talented fighter. And he's got all the tools to do really well. As long as he goes down there and fights to his potential and fights to his best, I believe he will get the win. But there is a massive experience. The experience difference can play a factor. And I'm hoping that doesn't have a negative effect on Aiden's performance, because if that happens, then it could be difficult. But it's one of those things when guys make a step up to like the Cage Warriors and stuff like that, you don't truly know until they make that step up. But I think Aiden's got all the tools to go a very long way in this sport. And I think that journey starts at Cage Warriors 100.
Yeah. I think you raise a really good point there, James, because although not only is he going to be making a step up in terms of his competition, but for every fighter on this card, it's definitely going to be a step up in terms of arena and atmosphere and occasion. What we saw at Cage Warriors 97 in the Ice Arena, they actually had the last quarter of it cordoned off. They didn't open the whole arena up. And it was just a deafening atmosphere, especially with the Jack Shaw fans. This time, obviously, with it being such a big card, the whole arena's opened up and it's going to be sort of 4,000 or 5,000 people. It's right in on top of the arena as well. So it's very, very loud. And I think we're talking about sort of predictions from just the fight basis. But I think a lot of these fights might go on sort of how people react to that atmosphere and that occasion, because it really could put a lot of people out of their comfort zone, I think. I mean, I don't know what you think about that, Chris, but I think that could definitely play a factor on the night.
Yeah, I think so. And also, you've got to take into account as well that Aiden's only had a 6-week camp. He hasn't had his full opportunity to train for this. He got offered this relatively late. He'd been knocking on Cage Warriors' door for a long time. You know, he knows Ross well. He's seen Ross and the guys progress up through their careers, and he's been hungry to do that himself. I completely agree with what you say, James, about his skill set. If this was a fight in a sports hall, for me, 10 times out of 10, to be honest, I'd probably pick Aiden Stephens. But Chris's experience is going to come into this. You know, Chris trains with Shaky. He's got a huge fan base behind him. We've got the best judges in Europe there, but they're only human. They're going to be swayed. But if this goes the distance, I could imagine them being relatively swayed by the crowd. Chris is quite flashy in the way that he fights as well. So, his strikes will... I don't know quite where I'm going with this. Hello. So I've just added in.
You're going nowhere, mate.
Nowhere.
I've got one thing to say and one thing only. Oh, flower of Scotland.
I was just about to pick Aiden Stephens. Aiden, if you're watching this, you can blame the Aberdeen fan for me potentially picking against you now. Now, in all honesty, skill set wise, Aiden Stephens, I think, is a more talented fighter. Chris Edwards has got the experience factor. Yes, I'm going to go with Aiden. Aiden Stephens for the win, yeah.
Yeah, Aiden there. So, first of all, I just want to say to everyone who's watching who doesn't know the random guy with the Venom hat that just popped up on our screen.
Venom hat, it's a bad boy. It's a bad boy.
It's a bad boy. Peter Knox, how are you anyway?
I'm no bad. I thought I'd just come in and liven the shit up.
Yeah.
We're struggling for views. Come on.
No, you're going to kill it off now. It's like a slapped arse, Sam.
Peter, have you got a prediction for that fight, buddy?
What fight is it? What are we talking about?
Chris Aiden. Edwards, Aiden Stephen. I know how you're going to pick already, but I'll let you have your take on that one.
I reckon it'll be a dodgy draw with dodgy judging decisions. Just like the boxing at the weekend. No, I have to go with my man. I have to go with my man, Aiden. So, obviously. But no, I think he gets it anyway. But I think all the Scottish guys get it, Lewis.
Fair play. Surprise, surprise, there, Peter. wouldn't expect you
picking
it anyway.
No, I need to back my guys. So,
fair play, Peter. Where's the Venom hat tonight, buddy? That's what I want to ask.
Yeah, hang on. Here.
Ah, there we are.
Hand.
There you go, son. Peter, is that a receding hairline? I see.
No.
Jesus.
I don't have the wizard hat handy. I know Tom likes that one, but I don't have that handy.
So, yeah, we're still waiting for our Venom sponsorship. Peter, when's that coming through?
I don't know, because I need to save my money in case we get sued by Rage in the Cage. So.
Right, okay. Fair enough. We'll save that one for another night, I think, Rage in the Cage. We'll come back to that one.
But no, can I just say one thing? Fuck yeah. Rage in the Cage and come and get me. I don't give a fuck.
There we are. Fair. Kerry, obviously you're the last one to go on this one. Prediction, Chris Edwards versus Aiden Stephen. How have you got it?
Chris Edwards. And again, because we interviewed Corey McKenna and she had a lot of great things to say about him. I did some research. That guy is on fire. He's got, like you guys said, a huge fan base. Yeah, I think he's going to pull out the win. He looks like he's a really great he's got some huge marketability over there, which is, you know, a big part of the fight game anyway. At least now it is.
Kerry, you sound as unprepared as me.
Huh?
You sound as unprepared for this as me. I don't know.
I am as prepared as I could have been on a bunch of people that I don't really know too much about except in your interviews.
Yeah.
But it's really nice that I have that to go on and look. And I mean, beyond that, we have Google, which is great. So.
Yeah. No, I'm saying you're doing really, really well considering you don't know the local scene over here. So it'd be like me coming on doing an American, like a Titan show preview. I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah. Absolutely, but you know what? I'm definitely planning on probably making it over your way within the next 6 months to come for a fight card and come hang out with you guys.
Yeah, come to On Top. Don't come to Rage. Come to On Top.
It's a big plan of mine.
Please don't get to Rage.
We've had a few comments come in.
So it's a good name for a show, Rage, because everybody was fucking raging.
Yeah. Right. The few people that were there were.
Right, guys, we've had a few comments coming in, so we'll just run through them now while we're chatting. So, with a couple of people asking, regards to Jack Shore, how many fights do you think before he gets to the UFC? Just before MD answers that, I will add that Richard Shore has commented that Jack has committed to 5 fights and he's going to honour that contract. So do you think Jack will five fights in Cage Warriors and go? What do you think, Lewis?
So I think he's already in that 5 fights, isn't he? So this would it be the second one? I think it's something. To be honest, yeah, I can see him honouring it because if you look at fighters having 3 fights a year, that's one more year of Jack fighting in Cage Warriors and then trying to go to the UFC. Which I think like I was saying earlier about Ross Houston, I think people take Cage Warriors as like the gateway to the UFC a little bit for granted. I think you don't just win a belt and get straight to the UFC. I think generally, you look at guys, they defend the belts. I know you've got like Jack Marshman won the belt and then got signed straight to the UFC, but obviously he was, his opponent had a dropout and Jack stepped in. Same with Craig White. He didn't even get a fight for the belt. He jumped in on a late replacement. But other than that, you get a lot of guys like Nathaniel defended it 2 or 3 times. Molly McCann, Chris Fishgold, all these guys.
Lewis.
And that's what I think Jack will do as well.
Lewis, do you think Craig White jumped too soon? I know he's had hard opponents, but
it's difficult to say. Like, I mean, he was going to fight for the belt, wasn't he? And you know, anything once you've won that belt, any dropouts, you can't find yourself in that position.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
He's fought two difficult opponents, which he's lost to, I think. I think we need to see him fight again before we can make that call, to be honest. Like I said, he's had two difficult opponents, and I wouldn't want to sort of write him off and say, yeah, he's jumped too soon, because he's such a good quality fighter, and I think he can make it up there.
I think we should get behind Jim Edwards, because he's got a campaign going to get Craig White against CM Punk or whatever it was.
Did you see Craig White's response to it, though?
Yeah.
That was so rude.
He's not got. Why the hell would he want to fight CM Punk? I mean, there's obviously reasons for name, but even a win like there, you know. Even if he beats CM Punk, he's just going to become a meme.
That's exactly what pretty much what Craig White was saying.
You know what I mean? It does nothing for him in the long. I think Craig White almost gets a gimme on his first fight because he jumps straight in with Neil Magny, who
I don't know how
tough a fight that is for anybody. Diego Sanchez won. I was surprised at. I felt Craig could go in and win that fight, but being where Diego is in his career. So I think Craig White didn't go in too soon. I think with his age and stuff like that as well, I think Jack is probably benefiting from spending a bit more time in Cage Warriors. Yeah. Sometimes it's better to not rush into the UFC because it might be your only chance. And if you go in too early, it could be a case of you end up going in too soon, and then by the time you come out of the UFC, you never get back there again.
And Jack's always very young as well. Jack is like 23, 24. Yeah. So, you know, taking another year, putting a couple more wins under his belt will not hurt him in the long run. You know, going up there and getting to the UFC as a fully developed fighter. You know, he's learning from some great coaches. I know he does boxing down with Gary Lockett, who's a top boxing guy down here. Obviously, he's training under Shaky at Today Combat. And I know he does a little bit down with Brett Jones now as well. So he's learning from the right people. And I think the more time he has at Cage Warriors is only going to benefit him in the long run, really.
It's a benefit.
Go on, Chris, sorry.
I was going to say, you've also got to take his dad's influence into account as well. You know, his dad's keeping him grounded. He's kept him grounded throughout his entire career, and he's been an absolutely superb constant throughout all 21 fights. He knows full well that no matter how good his son is, he's not quite ready for the UFC yet. And he doesn't want him just to go into the UFC just to be another name and just to turn around and say, yes, I fought in the UFC. He wants his son to get to the top. And his son's, you know, there's nothing... His son's got the ability to get to the top, certainly. You know, he's got the ability, he's got the mindset. And if he goes in at the right time, at the right age, with the right opponent, you know, you could have your first Welsh UFC world champion.
Yeah, it's just speaks a lot that it's sometimes ability is just not enough. It's about timing and just having the right people behind you to guide you, because if you just go one wrong step in your career, it can change that trajectory you're going to go in. And I definitely agree with that. I think, obviously, Jack's got the right people behind him, guiding him. He's definitely got a massive future in the sport. And he's going to end up in the UFC anyway. So why rush it? It makes no sense.
Not if Mr. Airlines beats him, he won't.
Of course he will. Even if Mike Ekindale beats him, it's just it's literally a blip in the road. All the best lose.
They're both going to end up in the UFC. I'm predicting that now.
Thankfully, that's a good thing about MMA. It's not boxing. Undefeated records. I mean, losing in MMA sometimes benefits people much more than winning constantly. So many guys have lost a fight and became a much better fighter, and their careers have went in a more upward trajectory after that. So thankfully, it's different for boxing in that respect. That undefeated record doesn't hold the sort of same prestige as it does over there.
Unless you're Habib.
Well, Habib is different from 99.9% of humans in this planet.
Completely agree with you on that.
We got any other questions, James?
Let's have a look there. Richard Shore actually commenting, basically saying it's Jack's second fight. They have been offered the UFC... But kind of as we've just been saying, they're in no rush, which is, again, when they get there, they're there to stay for a long time, is what he's saying there. So, yeah.
But see if Jack wins, what's left for him in Cage Warriors, apart from obviously going for
I think that's the thing.
Who's
about,
left,
there's I always, think as long as he's selling out shows in Cardiff, he's going to want to stay around for a little bit longer, Peter, because these really are amazing occasions down at the Ice Arena. So I think, like I said, apart from wanting to sort of develop himself and get there when he's at the right time, I think he's going to just make the most and enjoy these nights in Cardiff, to be honest. And I won't blame him for doing that because, like you said, it's the buzz he's got around Wales at the moment is just unbelievable and something that I haven't experienced before in my time watching MMA. So I think it's definitely different.
You know, I think that would make the UFC want to sign him even more than offer a bit more money and...
No, I think you've got to take into account what Cage Warriors are doing as well. You know, you've got Ian Dean, who's one of the best matchmakers around, and he finds people from all over the place. So he'll want, I think Graham and Ian will want Jack to succeed. He can be their flagship athlete for years to come. So if Ian finds Jack the right fight, gives him the right tests, puts him in the right frame, then, you know, he could go on to the, into the UFC, even better rounded, more talented fighter than he already is. So even though at the moment, you know, looking through the rest of the roster at the moment, your question would be, who could he possibly come up against? They can find people from outside of that roster. They know enough people. They've been in the game long enough. And I think they probably will for Jack.
What I was going to say as well, I saw on the news a couple of days ago, they've just started construction of a new arena down in Cardiff. I think it's a little bit more capacity than what you've got in the Ice Arena. I think that's going to be perfect. I think it's going to be a year or two, but that's going to be perfect for a UFC event. So what I think will happen if they keep pushing these cards in Cardiff, you might see someone like Jack and Brett get on that first card when it comes to Cardiff. And that's the next step I want to happen, is to see a UFC come to Cardiff. It's the biggest show in the world, and we're the only country in the UK that hasn't had it yet. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping the likes of these guys can get on it and do it in that new arena.
Yep. Yeah.
Is there any other questions, James, or?
No, just some comments, but no questions or anything like that. Yeah, I forgot Wales hasn't had a UFC, so yeah. Scotland has one thing on you, thankfully.
See, look, you guys are moving so much, but we still have a UFC. We're still working towards that, so... Hopefully, we're going to get soon.
Well, it's a matter of time. It's definitely a matter of time. Wales is kind of a hot prospect in the UK at the moment. So UFC is definitely a matter of time, especially with the stuff Cage Warriors is down there. These are selling tickets, and at the end of the day, that's what it all... doesn't matter how many... Obviously, your fighters are important, the fighters you've got there, but it's how many bums that will pay for those tickets, how many people that will put their bums in seats, and they're doing that in Wales. So,
and the thing is, as well, with this card, like it's such a big card, but there's still a lot of Welsh talent that hasn't made the card. Like you've got Corey McKenna. She's got a huge following in Wales now. She's nowhere on this one. Probably the biggest one that's not going to be on this card is Mason Jones. Mason is a real prospect in Wales at the moment. Another guy that's got a lot of people behind him, and a guy that's really put on exciting fights and drawing in a crowd. So you've still got another couple of guys thereabouts who could be sort of on a different card. So, yes. Yeah. Like you said, it's a hotbed at the moment.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, with all the good stuff happening in Wales, ultimately can only be good for UK MMA, because it's, I mean, the talent level's coming out of every corner of the UK at the moment. The guys that are coming through, I mean, in 5 years' time, some of the guys will have. It's just getting better and better. And yeah, it's good times for UK and Irish MMA.
Lewis, I've got a question for you.
Go on.
You don't find it, like, we've sent you to Cage Warrior Wales before.
Yeah.
Remember, you and I think it was a local newspaper were the only media to cover Cage Warriors Wales. Yeah. And now we've got Cage Warriors 100 and they're turning media the fuck down. You know, does that not piss you off? They're only interested in coming over because it's a stacked card, but they won't come to all the other fucking events.
I think it's one of those things, like, in a way, I see what you're saying, but also, when you say that, Peter, it makes me feel happier because we got credentials, we're going to be covering it. So it makes me feel like that kind of bit more special, that I'm going to be one of the lucky people to be there and one of the lucky people to get to sort of cover the event. So
yeah, but you've earned it, Lewis, because you went to the events that nobody else goes to as well. Did that just piss you off that they're only interested in coming over because it's 100? I don't know.
The thing is, with big events like this, it's always going to draw attention. So I can see why, like, you know, the BBC and people like that would want to come to this one as opposed to smaller ones before. For me... It doesn't piss me off, no, because honestly, I would go watch it. If I wasn't going to this as media, I'd be buying a ticket and sitting in the stand and enjoying it as well. So I'd be there either way and I'd be enjoying it. So it doesn't really piss me off.
Peter's trying to get you fighting with the BBC at Cage Warriors 100. That's exactly what he's trying to do.
No, fuck sure. The BBC and their pedos, but does it not piss you off that Jim Edwards picks and chooses what he goes to? He won't come to the small events, but...
I don't really think about what he does, to be honest. Obviously, he's...
He's just an example of many. It's not just him, but there's a few of them.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Like you said, it's not something I really think about. Like, I'm just a massive fan. And I'd be there either way. So what other people do, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just going to be there doing my thing on the night, and I can't wait.
But I think we've got to be pragmatic about it as well, though. You know, I think it's a real positive for UK MMA that we've got so many people and people outside of the MMA sphere as well who actually want to come to an event. You know, we've seen, unfortunately, Bama seem to have disappeared. We've got Bellator, hopefully, Bellator Europe from sound of it coming up, which is going to be phenomenal for UK MMA. But right now, it is Cage Warriors. Cage Warriors are the premier show in the country. To actually have the likes of the BBC wanting to sit alongside our guys and commentate on an MMA show is a huge plus for the sport. So, I think, you know, as much as it's frustrating that people don't go to the smaller shows and support the smaller shows, it's just great to see such a wide array of press at these big shows, and shows how far we've come as an industry.
Yeah, and it's like everything else, it has to start somewhere. Obviously, I was really happy when I saw the stuff BBC were doing over at Clan Wars on the iPlayer. I mean, if we could get that, obviously Clan Wars, they aren't as big as Cage Warriors, but if the BBC are going to do stuff like that around, that can only be good for everybody. It gets more eyeballs on the sport, and the more eyeballs on the sport, the better for fighters, the better for coaches, the better for promoters, the better for everybody. It's a good thing. Sometimes it just takes a while for certain elements in the media to get interested, but as long as they do, I think it can only benefit everybody.
And Chris mentioned Bama there. They actually posted on their Facebook last Friday, I think it was.
Yeah, and
just their logo. But so.
And they put out, there was one of their highlight reels were put out as well last week.
Right, okay. So hopefully they'll be back in the new year.
The CEO of Bama is now the CEO of Bellator Europe.
There's no official announcement then on what's happening with Bama, is it?
Is it not point of view though? It's almost like Bellator have kind of swallowed them up a bit. So
yeah,
I think they'll be back. My opinion.
What about ACB as well, Peter? Any news on that?
Who ACB?
Yeah.
You're probably best asking Katie. She's probably got more inside info than me.
Katie, any news on that?
All I know is they're just intending not to do any more in Europe and the UK. And they'll carry on doing them in Russia and surrounding countries there. And I think they're going to carry on doing them in Australia as well. But
they were supposed to have a card with Pickett, wasn't they, in London?
There's supposed to be an ACB London card that both Brad and Corin were going to be on, and a couple of other guys from Titan as well. But sadly, it's strange. I don't know if you guys have ever been to an ACB event. The ones that I've been to...
They're all empty.
...have been empty.
Haven't ACB just merged? ACB has just merged with WFCA. Isn't that Azamat Karadov's promotion? I think that came out last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's going to be interesting times to see how the world reacts to that, I suppose, because there's question marks around whether you want to be associated with the Chechen warlords MMA promotion or not. And then you've got these UK fighters, like, you know, Robert Whiteford's still contracted to ACB.
Can't get out of it, can he?
Yeah, I was going to bring that one up, Chris, if anybody knew the latest on Robert Whiteford, because he's obviously trying to get out of that, but they're not there.
But haven't other people managed to get out of their contracts? But Robert hasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't.
Katie's Brad Pickett out of his one, because obviously he signed to fight in London. Was that a multi-contractor?
Well, the last time I spoke to him about it, he didn't know whether they were going to put him on another card. They'd originally said they were going to put other, like, everybody on another card, but I don't know. I don't know if they will. It's certainly not what he signed up to. He signed up to fighting in front of a home crowd with, you know, the opponent was picked. So I don't know. He's going to be quite fussy about how he comes back as well. It's only because he got offered a really good deal and, you know, he didn't want to make a run for the title or anything. He just wanted to come back and put on some great shows with somebody of a similar level to him. You know, maybe a big name who's got a lot of experience, but again, not some up and coming, you know, youngster. I don't know if they're all on the same page now. I don't even know if he's still speaking to them. From what I heard, it all went quiet.
Yep. Well.
Yeah. Well, anyway, guys, I think that kind of brings us to a natural end of the evening. We've strayed off from Cage Wars 100, but like I said, it's all good. We'll have a chat. Peter, nice to see you've got your hats on. But Peter, should you be in bed? I thought you'd go work early in the morning.
Yeah, I've got to go up at 4 in the morning, but I'm hardcore, so that's how I roll.
So, guys,
the absinthe.
So, yeah, guys, before we say goodbye, I just want to say a big thanks for everyone for joining us tonight. Obviously, really appreciate the comments and appreciating your predictions as well. Just complete for you now. Give a shout out to your social media where people can hit you up and where people can follow you. Kerry, Stella, you go first.
Oh, you can follow me at Kerry Stellar pretty much on everything. On Twitter, it's Stellar79.
Have you got anything coming up? Any shows or anything coming up, Kerry?
Well, you know, Pro Fighters League New Year's Eve. That should be gigantic. It's going to be a great card. They always put on a fun show. Kayla Harrison's going to be fighting. I forget the woman's name she's fighting, but it should be a really, really good time. And it's at Madison Square Garden. Again, New Year's Eve, you can't get better than that.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a good evening. Chris, what about yourself? Where can people follow you on social media?
You can get me on Twitter at, I've recently changed it, so it's at Chris_BRAM_. You can find me at www.battlereadyam.com. That's my management company. And then on Facebook, you can find me at BattleReadyAM, so Battle Ready Athlete Management. That's there it. You thank you.
Brilliant. Chris, thanks very much for your time this evening, buddy. James Howell, then, where can people hit you up on social media?
James, MMA UK, Twitter, Instagram. Also, at the Bad Part of Podcast with myself and Bellator lightweight Chris the Bad Guy Bungard. And we will be live tomorrow at 7:30 with hilarious Scottish comedian Gary Folds. And that's also available on iTunes. So that's about it for me.
There we go. Check that out, guys. That's the Bad Part of Podcast, hosted by James himself, the happiest man in Scottish MMA. Katie, what about yourself? Where can we find you on MMA? Where can we find you or your work? And what have you got coming up for us in the future?
You can find me at Katie Hunter on Facebook or at Cuppers_MMA. I just want to show you my homemade Mike Ekindayo t-shirt before we go.
Love it.
Because we were reading the stuff in the t-shirt there.
Peter Knox was getting excited there. I can see then.
Yeah, baby. Woo.
Trying to get some reviews.
Right. Sex sells, guys. Sex sells.
So, yeah, no, thank you very much for that, Katie. I also appreciate your input tonight. And Peter, obviously the boss man at the MMA UK. Where can people get you if you care?
You can find me in a hospital.
You can find me at www.fuckrage.com/shoot-me-bitch.
There we go. And Peter, where can we get one of those hats from, Bunny? Are they going to be on sale on the site?
Yeah, I might put that in with my camouflage, fuck the UFC camouflage top. And
Peter, something I did want to ask you actually. We've had a good response for our mugs. When are we getting these online, buddy?
What are we getting?
The mugs. When are we getting them online? I've had a lot of people hitting me up for them.
The mics.
The mugs.
Mugs.
Josh. I don't know. If people want them, then yeah, we can get some shit sorted out. Awesome. We've done merchandise before, but it was kind of a bit slow and all that. But if people want stuff, yeah, we'll get stuff made up. And we could do the Facebook store again, whatever. I'll talk to Frankie afterwards.
Yeah. See what so anyone, instead of asking me, ask Peter Knox and he'll get you sorted out for MMA.
Yeah, we'll get something sorted.
3 months.
We want MMA UK pint glasses.
That'll be good.
That's what we want. Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much for your time this evening. I think that brings us to a close, and I'll see you all very soon, okay?
Peace.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. All right.